Catching on? I hope so, because it's important. And that's why today, talking about the Word, it's very important that we understand as believers, we need to be grounded in the Word. Because that helps us to understand more about our prayer times and how God works through our prayers. Not just for those we ask prayers for, but through us as well. To help us be in tune with God. Makes it all better when you know, we feel we're right with God, and we're in His Word, and this is what He puts on our heart, and we lift it up to Him. So keep that in mind as we continue to go forward with this discipleship, because it's all about relationship with Jesus. Relationship with Him being the Lord. In other words, His Lordship. That we're servants for Him. In John 8, 31 and 32, it really indicates that a disciple must be grounded in the Word. I mean, it's not an option if we really want to follow Jesus. And it's not any word. But it's the Word of God, the Bible. And I know we have different translations in that. But you know, no matter who reads their translation, when it's a mainstream translation, we can follow along even if the words are a little bit different, because the context is there. And we know what it's saying. And so we can agree with all of that. The only time we'd really have to be concerned as if everything else is in agreement with God's Word except for what we're reading. If that's not in agreement with us, then we need to change what we're reading. But anyway, we need to remember, like I said earlier, that the key to discipleship is what? Lordship. We got to keep that in mind. We can call Him friend. We can call Him Savior. But we also have to call Him Lord. He's not just in charge of you and me. He's in charge of the church. He's the head of the church. So that means that all that we do as a body of believers and as individuals needs to be led by Him. And the best way to find out what that leading is through His Word. It means that Jesus is not only the Lord of our lives, but He's also to be the center of them as well. I think where we struggle the most is when we really are, we stop and think and realize that He may not be quite the center that we think He is. We let other things get in our way. We let other wants come in there. Other exciting things. People will say, hey, let's go do this, or this is fun. It's not going to hurt to miss worship time for once or twice. And certainly it isn't, if there's valid reasons that is bringing glory to God. But if it's just to fill your needs of sleeping in or whatever it may be, it's not really a valid reason. Well, I can take Jesus with me when I'm out there doing this. I can take Jesus with me when I'm out there doing that. Or as people have told me, well, I've got my church right here in the garden. Or I'm really close to God when I'm out on the river in a boat just going up and down and enjoying the sunshine. Where's the gathering together? Where's that fellowship that we need? And see, we only understand that when we're in God's Word. We should want to spend time with Him in His Word. We should want to be with Him as much as we can because we love Him. And if we don't love Him, is He really our Lord and Savior? Listen to what Jesus says about His Word and disciples. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See? You don't understand. You feel trapped by this. You feel trapped by that. When you're in God's Word and you understand, it just takes that so-called monkey off of your back. And you do feel free. Free to do what God wants you to do. True disciples abide in God's Word. What does it mean to abide in it? To live in it. Look at it this way. As disciples, we're to live in the Word, and it's to become our spiritual food. That's why Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Not that we take the pages and we eat them, but what we get out of them, our spiritual nourishment that helps us to sustain life as we live it. To be able to endure the things that we do for Christ. All for the purpose of being at the right time, at the right moment, with the right attitude and the right words to share with someone else that they may be able to come to the Lord. And it also helps us be able to endure those things. Without it, we won't grow as disciples. We'll just stay right there. And if we're not moving forward, eventually we're going to slide backwards. We're going to go back to those things that we used to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to those things. They were ruining my life. So the Word is absolutely a part of being a disciple of Jesus. We can't say that we're Christian without being a disciple. We can't say that we're a disciple if we're not in God's Word. We can't really know Jesus without the Word. A lot of people say, I know Jesus. I know all about Him. Jesus says that if we're in His Word, we'll know the truth. And that's because He is the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. See, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. And there's only one way to be with Jesus, and that's to abide in His Word. Believers need to understand that the truth is not just some set of rules and regulations. Well, God's command says to do this, so I did it. Well, I have to do this because the commands say I have to. People that are religious follow all kinds of rules because they have to. But we should want to. When we get into the Word, we meet the absolute truth. The absolute truth is Jesus. And He sets us free. We don't have to worry about things after that. Do we have to still deal with them? Yes. But we really don't have to worry about it. But the only way to understand that is to spend time with Him in His Word. And we got to get to that point that we're spending a right amount of time. And it's different for everybody. But we can't say, oh, 5 minutes is all I can handle. You start limiting things and you're in trouble. Now, certainly our schedules don't always provide us the opportunity to get out there and spend 20 hours a day in God's Word. We might only have 15 minutes here or 20 minutes there. But we need to make sure that we take time every day to be in His Word. Even if we have to get up earlier. And I know a lot of us don't like to get up early in the morning. For some, it's pretty easy. They get up, they have other reasons to get up, and it's still dark out. I spent years of getting up in the dark and going to bed in the dark. That's behind me. I don't have to do that anymore. But I still have to spend time with Jesus. Because I have to be able to go forward. What you learn today, if you don't continue to be in His Word, you won't remember that for most people tomorrow. But a year from now, or 2 years from now, something comes up and you need it, where is it? I knew that once. Well, we got to continue in that. You know, it's easy for other people to not understand that. I mean, when I say other people, I'm not just talking about people that don't believe. I mean believers. Believers that have such a busy schedule, or they got so many things going on, or they have to do this, or they have to do that, or they have extenuating circumstances. But you know, the truth is, they can still find time. Years ago, when we were in Ritzville, there was a man that was passing away from cancer, and we were up at the hospital with him. And the only Bible that was in there of the from the hospital was a Living Translation. And so Tammy was starting to read that Living Translation to him. And as she was reading, he started repeating. But he was saying what was in the King James Version, because that's what he knew. That's what he followed his whole life. So after a while, she stopped, and he just continued going through that book of the Bible, just page after page after page. Where does that come from? Being in God's Word on a regular basis. He didn't work at memorizing all of that. But it came to him. That's what God's Word does to us in times of need. It brings His Word back to us. And that's another reason why it's important to be in His Word on a regular basis. So we need to set a time aside every day to be in the Bible. Think of it this way. Make an appointment. You have appointments for doctors, right? Do you miss them? Oh, I don't feel like going to that appointment today. No. We usually go out of our way to get there early. And they're usually late. And yet we wait on that. Why can't we do the same thing with our Lord? Not wait on Him, but I mean we do, but in a different sense. Set a time and meet with Him. At that time, every day. And the more we do that, the easier it'll come. But also, the more we'll enjoy it. The more we'll look forward to it by setting the time. And many people don't understand why. Why is that so important? To set a time to be in communication with God on a regular basis. Or, in other words, to make it an integral part of our life. Well, first, we need that time to get to know God. We can know about Him, but do we really need to get to know Him? It's like friends. We can have friends that are out there that are really acquaintances, or we can have friends that we're around a lot and we really get to know them. We know their likes and their dislikes. We know the ups and the downs, and you know, we know a lot about them. That's how it should be with God. And that's why we need to be in His Word, to know those things. Most everybody in their understanding about God, they have their own ideas. Oh, God is this. Well, God is that. You know, but in our world today, everybody has an opinion. And when they get their chance, they're going to share it. Even though much of what they have to think about God has nothing to back it up. Talk to people. Find those things out. You know, at one time we were probably that way. Basically, though, it's just their ideas and perceptions of who they think God ought to be instead of who He really is. But when we spend time with God every day and we're in His Word, we really get to know Him. And that's a plus for our lives. Because in getting to know Him, we get to know ourselves a little better too. And we get to know how we can apply His Word in our life. Then our knowledge of Him will be based on facts. Facts and true experience that we have with Him. How can we really know God if we don't let Him tell us about Himself? That's the one that we need to know. And He's willing to share all about Him with us. We can't. So we need time to be in His Word and get to know Him. Next, we need that time to get guidance and direction from Him. How many times have we said, I don't know what to do? Call up somebody. Hey, I don't know about this. Bill gets tired of me calling them probably because I'm always calling him. Bill, I don't know about this. How do I get this done? What do I do about that? And he always has an answer. How many people have called us and asked about things? And we've given them answers. That's how it is with God. When we call on God, He has an answer. And it'll be a good answer. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, in Proverbs, what is it, 16:9, it says, man plans his way, but God, or man's heart plans his way, but God directs his steps. Yeah, He lets us make plans, but He's also there to direct us through those. And, you know, if you're like me, you know that a lot of the plans that you make aren't always the way that God brings them out. Because they, well, how did this happen? How did that happen? Well, we know it's God, right? Because He changed it. Unfortunately, though, too many people, they look to other sources for guidance and direction. They don't want to listen to what God has to say. That there's actors and actresses out there who want to influence your lives daily. And many people listen to that. They're not in charge of our lives. I mean, well, you know, they want to tell you about how to live, but yet don't look at their lives. Because we all know theirs is all messed up too. Facebook. There's millions of people out there that you put something on Facebook and you'll have all kinds of replies telling you what you should do. And how many of them are good advice? At work, at school, even at church, people will have advice for you. That's a fact. Some good and some not so good. So, you know, I don't want to dispel talking to one another in church, you know, because there's a lot of good that comes out of that, that we can work things out, and it helps to be able to share things with people and fine-tune them, you know. But we got to be careful that we don't lock in to what some people says. And, you know, the one thing that really signals me of warning is when somebody says, the Lord told me to tell you, you know, and so watch out, you know, could it be true? Yes. But more times than not, it's, you know, them trying to tell you to do something that they want you to do. Their lives may be falling apart personally, but they're more than happy to give you advice. And we know that to be true. Are they really the best places to seek advice? Maybe good places, but not the best. I mean, let's face it. I've had a lot of people tell me what to do, and it's really helped. But I've had a lot of people tell me what to do, and prior to being a Christian, I told them what they could do too. You know, I had this one guy in California when we were at Hunter Liggett. He was a new guy coming into our unit, and as he got off the bus at the area we were training at, he looked around and he says to me, he says, "I know what your problem is." I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, you." How would he know? He just got there, you know. But we got to be careful about those things. But we also need the Lord at times to just be with Him. We need to also be able to, like we do here on Sunday mornings, bring our wants and our needs and our desires to the Lord. Those are important things. And we need to do them on a daily basis. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God." See, there's nothing that we ought to hold back from God. I mean, you know, sometimes we can be pretty rough in our communication with God. God knows. He knows when it's from the heart and it's how we're feeling, or if it's just some type of a maneuver to manipulate Him. He knows the difference. And so we shouldn't have to worry about opening up our hearts to Him. There are always things that are on our hearts and minds. Many of them we don't raise when other people are around because we want to keep them more personal. And that's okay. They don't have to be. That's why a lot of times when we have prayers, it's just we lift up someone's silent request. You know, God knows the heart. He knows the intents of all of that. Many times people don't think that they have an outlet, though, to bring their concerns to. Well, I don't know who to talk to. This is just one of those things that I can't get help from anybody with. Especially when they're hurting. People don't like to go to too many places and they don't think anybody can help them with that specific problem. And they don't really feel like they have someone to talk to. Single people. Whether they're young and not married or they're older and widowed or divorced. If they're by themselves, they don't really feel like they have an outlet to anything. At times, people feel overwhelmed and they need a place to run and hide, just to escape everything. Excuse me. Unfortunately, in our world today, much of that is they run and hide in a bottle or a needle or some other pill or, you know, something like that. Not always good things. If only someone could invent that perfect pill that's just right for their need. A lot of people feel that way. But the truth is, when we're in the Word and we're spending time with the Lord, we always have someone who cares and someone who is available. Jesus is always willing to listen. And He knows what we're going through. He's the only one who knows our deepest needs, knows the desires of our heart. He's the only one who fully understands what's going on in our life. And yes, we need time with Him to be able to share that. You know, a lot of times, just in sharing, it eases a burden. One of the things when we went through chaplaincy training for disaster relief was, you know, a lot of times you don't have to say anything. You just have to be there for support for that person. A shoulder to lean on. An ear to hear. That they just need to open up. And you know, in greatest times of need, people are willing to open up to a chaplain or even a believer. That it relieves a burden on their heart. And yes, we need that time. They need that time. To be transparent and open with the one who can relate to everything about them with them. The truth is, He's the only one who can bring about the changes that'll make our lives livable again. Because a lot of times after you have that time to open up with Him and just get things off your heart, you feel relieved of things. You feel that burden is over just by sharing it with Him, knowing that He's going to answer that and He's going to work it out for good. You may not know what that good is, or it may not be exactly what you want it to be, but it'll be for good. And then finally, we need that time to see God make a difference through us. He wants that time. And He wants us to want that time. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Changes in us. We're not what we used to be. We're not who we used to be. Peter, 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's what we are. The moment we say, "I believe in Jesus, I believe He died for my sins, I ask Him to take my sins away and forgive me, and I want Him to be the Lord of my life." Boom. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Now, is that what we were before? Not even close. And that goes for all of us. You know, we weren't even close to having a right relationship with Him until we accepted Him. And then we grow from there. And we grow by being in His Word. We need that time so He can make a difference. Because I don't know about you, but it took some years for me to get to a point where I would even pray in front of other people. First time I was asked to pray in church, I clammed up. I couldn't get anything out. I got so embarrassed. I got so red. I thought my face was just going to explode. But then after a while, I don't remember what I was reading or something, talking with people. They said, all you got to do when you pray is just talk to God. You got all these people around you, but don't worry about who's listening. Worry about God, and He's always listening. And you can move forward from that. And you know, as I started teaching, I worked with Tammy in the nursery, and then we taught first grade and second grade. Third grade, I taught fourth grade boys. She taught the girls in fifth grade and sixth grade. The youth, the young adults, the older adults, and now everybody. That's what God has in store for us. To follow Him wherever He leads. And we're never going to find that out if we're not in His Word. So He can help us to grow and to mature. Every day we're faced with situations where we can make a difference. Every day. We may not know it because it may be someone watching or somebody may hear. But we're faced with those things. There are people all around us who need to know God cares. There are situations that we can bring God into for good. Because people need good in their lives. But more times than not, we don't do that. Why? I think the biggest reason is because too many times we're distant from God. We've gotten away from Him. He hasn't gotten away from us. We need to get back to Him and we need to stay back with Him. That's why we need to be in His Word. That's why we need to spend time with Jesus every day. And when we're in the Word every day, we're putting Jesus' thoughts in our minds. What better thoughts to have than Jesus's? You know, there's times that I sit around and you give me about 2 minutes and my mind's out there somewhere else, and some of them thoughts are memories from the past, and I don't want to go there anymore. But yet the mind wants to. How do you get it off of that and get it back on the Lord? Prayer and His Word. It helps us to submerge our minds in the things of God. And we can only do that by being in the Word. Because then we let His words equip us for the day's events. We need that time to be a part of Him and allow Him to really work through us and make a difference. In other words, we're difference makers. That's why we're here. Not just for our lives, not just for the life of the church, but for those around. Because they need a difference in their lives. In our world, it's just mind-boggling how far out there some people can get, and they don't care if they ever get back. That's what they say out loud, but inwardly they want a difference. And it might help to remember Philippians 2, 14 and 15, that we can act right before other people. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There's nothing in God's Word that is not beneficial to us. Yeah, but if you get back in Numbers and all those names and all of that, let me tell you, if you learn a little bit about it, you let God talk to you about it, even that is beneficial to us. It's all good. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us why. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See? That's how important God's Word is. So the key to becoming a disciple is to ground ourselves in the Word of God. Get into a regular habit of meeting God in the Bible daily. Schedule a time and then stick to it. Find a place where you can be with the least interruptions. We know they're going to happen. If there's nothing else around us, our minds will interrupt us. But make it a place that has the least interruptions. If you haven't made a plan yet, do it. I mean, that's, you know, don't just say, I got to make a plan. Make a plan and stick to it. It'll never happen if you don't begin. And then you'll be wondering why God isn't there when you need Him most. Truth is, He's there. You just got away from Him. And then once you start, like I said, it'll get easier. And it'll get to a point where you really want to. So how do you go about that time that you're going to be with Him in His Word and that? Simple. It's always simple, right? Until you get to it. But just pray. Read. Write some things down. Record it. And then pray again. You know, you could do all of that with a small passage in about 2 minutes. Unless you want me to explain it to you, then it'll take an hour. Just the way things are, right? We're going to have Lord's Supper in a minute, so we'll close and get ready for that. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank You for all that You do. I thank You for just bringing us here today, the joy of others that haven't been here in a while because of ailments and that, Lord. I pray that You continue to work in their lives and heal them. I thank You for their availability to be here today because we enjoy each other's company. And help us, Lord, to truly enjoy Your company as we set aside time each day to be with You as well. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.